Hi everyone, this is Klaatu, and I'm outside chilling with Alan Hicks of the Slackbook Project, still, I guess, and the Slackware community in general. So how you doing, Alan? I spoke to you last year.
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here again this year.
So what do you think of the festival this year?
I thought it's been a great blast. I am tired, though, boy. It has been a busy, just a whirlwind, fun thing. The one criticism is that it's so daggum big you can't do everything you want to do. I mean, it's like, you know, Disney World. You have to go for a week if you want to ride every ride.
Right.
But overall, this has been a fantastic again. Really have had a great time. A lot of the talks have been great. They've done everything from a lot of improvements. The table layout's been a whole lot better this year.
Yeah.
I think everybody could tell you that.
Yeah.
And probably triple the number of talks.
That has been crazy because there's no way you're going to get to see all the... I mean, there's just not. There's no way.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have six rooms that they have talks going on simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're talking something somewhere along the lines of 30 talks today, plus more tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, how can you possibly work that in? That's, you know, a huge accomplishment. We're talking a big, a really big fest on just its second year. One of the really big things, or one of the really impressive things just about the scope, is that they had to turn speakers away this year. You know, they had too many wanting to speak, and we've got, you know, 30 talks going on today at least. And we've probably got 15 or 16 tomorrow, 2-hour talks at that.
Yes.
So, you know, you're talking about a lot of information chopped up together, and it's just overall improvements. I mean, you can tell that it has really matured in just a year's time.
Yeah.
They put in a lot of great hard work. They've got, you know, even better people here this year for some of the speakers, and not to trash talk anyone from last year, but, you know, it seemed like after you got that first year under the belt, people wanted to come talk.
Yeah,
you know, people
yeah.
wanted to be a part of it on just the second year.
Yep.
And that to me is amazing.
Your talk, I didn't get to hear it all because there was a camera emergency in another room, so I got to leave for that. But your talk today was on ciphers, correct?
Yes, sir. Ciphers, we did everything from the ancient old school monoalphabetic ciphers up through, you know, DES, RSA,
wow.
complete with some of the mathematics involved for things
wow.
like RSA. It was a really good talk, and we had, you know, a good crowd who asked good technical questions
nice.
As well.
So how important is that sort of thing to security in Linux? I mean, because the kind of the common knowledge, common expectation, I guess, is that it's going to get cracked eventually anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, RSA is probably the strongest form of encryption we have right now, so short of, you know, some massive synchronous cipher. But, you know, when you start to get, if we ever discover any sort of way to quickly factor huge prime numbers, not just for Linux, but for our very way of life, you know, RSA secures everything you do online when you're talking SSL.
Right.
You do e-commerce, you buy something online, you are using RSA. You want to connect to a VPN. A lot of times you will be using RSA to first establish that connection, then do a key exchange.
Right.
Just the ability to have a secure line of communication to someone else without having to physically meet them and exchange keys in order to guarantee security. Without that, the entire security of the internet falls apart, you know. We're talking billion-dollar corporations that can no longer do business on the internet because credit card information isn't secure anymore. So it's really a big deal, and I think it's important that people, you know, understand what's involved and so that it's not, you know, just some black art
right.
That people, you know, I understand it works, and that's all I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people are hungry to know more about sort of the dirty plumbing parts
yeah.
of not just, you know, Linux, but the internet that most people don't, you know, want to think about. They want to sort of take for granted.
Yeah.
And, you know, also those typical things tend to be a lot more technically oriented. And I think, you know, it helps to have a balance of talks from things like what I do, which can be highly technical,
right,
to other sort of talks, which can be very personal, like John Mad Dog's talk was excellent today. His great, you know, talk about a personal history with freedom and how intimately he was involved with Linux in the early years. And, you know, then you have sort of your middle ground distro talks and stuff. So having the blend really helps attract a lot of other people or a diverse group of people, because while geeks have a lot in common, we also have a lot of differences, too.
Yeah.
And here at the Southeast Linux Fest, there's things for, you know, even from the beginning user who might have only been exposed to things like Ubuntu and Fedora and cares mostly about getting it installed and having a web browser and having their wireless work, to real coders, real developers who might be working on some internals or might be working on user space products. You've got commercial vendors here, and a good bit of them. Really, they've all been very, very friendly, very big on open source. A lot of them incorporate, you know, open source in their own projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, you know, talks that, while not necessarily geared towards coding, can also attract, you know, the type of geek who wants to really get down and understand how things work.
Yeah.
Sort of the essence of the hacker, I guess you might say.
Yeah. So let's switch gears, I guess, talk a little bit about Slackware, since there was a big release quite recently. Any big improvements to 13.1 that you can think of?
Okay, there's a lot of big improvements here. And a lot of big changes. The old libATA is gone from the kernel.
Oh, okay.
So now,
so
now all your IDE devices show up as SCSI devices.
Okay.
That's a big problem if you're upgrading and you're not, you know, paying attention.
Right.
Because, you know, your FSTAB file has to be rewritten, Lilo has to be rewritten.
Yeah.
So HDA become SDA, and things have moved around. Policy kit's been added in. That was almost, you know, almost like an 11 o'clock hour sort of edition that helps, you know, with some hardware. The KDE 4.4, which just very recently came out. And in fact, I walked by the KDE booth here, and they had a Slackware laptop there to show off KDE 4.4. It's actually Vincent Batz's laptop, because none of the other distros had it just yet. At least not in the stock, you know, in stock.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of new things to be excited about. We're not running the absolute latest stable kernel. We're running 2.6 point, either 3.3 or 3.4. I forget which one. I think it's 3.3.6.
Okay.
3.4 came out, you know, just maybe a week or so before Slackware was released. And unless there's a really, really compelling reason to change kernels that late in the release, we won't do it. Because it's usually a case of exchanging bugs you know about for bugs you don't know about.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we always grab the latest... I guess you would call them the sub-stables, you know, the patches for stable 2.6 kernels. We always try and grab the latest one of those. We've also, in the kernel, KMS and stuff, so video works better. Switching between console and X is almost instantaneous.
Wow.
The graphics in console are better, too.
Cool.
You know, previously, when you had, say, a widescreen laptop or a widescreen monitor, you ran frame buffer.
Yeah.
You know, your text could get stretched a little bit.
Yeah.
It's much better looking now because it uses the kernel KMS settings.
Cool.
So, you know, the text in frame buffer is almost like the text in Xterm under X.
Nice.
So you don't have, you know, the stretching, the wide fonts, just overall improvements.
That's very nice. So are you running it? I guess, I mean, you must be, but are you running in real life?
Yes, yes. Okay. It's actually on my laptop. I have an old MacBook that I'm running
it
on.
Yeah.
And a little funny, it doesn't quite run right on the MacBook. Something with the libATA to the SCSI switchover doesn't want to work right with the MacBook, so I had to compile a custom kernel and go back to libATA. So I'm not exactly 13-point
right.
And, you know, I've got some issues with the kernel I compiled that have caused some video corruption issues at times. But, you know, that's just fine-tuning on some really oddball hardware that not a whole lot of people use.
Right, yeah.
Additionally, hold on just a second.
Yep. She faked you out, dude.
Sorry about that. I was trying to open the door for a lady, but...
No.
Anyhow, there's been a lot of improvements. You know, there's some places it could still be improved, but you can say the same thing about any distribution, any program. In my case, the few troubles that I've run into, if you look around, they're just not reported anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with some of the custom junk that I've done to get it to work on that hardware.
Right, yeah.
And I'd be a little doubtful that, you know, all the other distros ran clean out of the box on it. But, you know, with some of the additions, things like brightness keys and volume keys on a Mac worked out of the box.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and with everything else, regardless of distribution, you would have to download and compile these weird libraries and compile some software called PalmD to get, you know, those buttons to work right. And I actually used to maintain the Slack build for it, and now I just don't, because there's no more requirement for it.
Were you the maintainer of, I think it was PB Buttons D?
On Slack build?
Yeah.
I believe so. No.
Okay. I'm wondering if that's even necessary anymore, because now that you mention it, that might not even be.
I'm familiar with it, and it may be necessary to get, like, the eject key working.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Something like that. But, you know, I haven't actually played with it. I haven't even put in, you know, a CD since installing. So, you know, if it doesn't work, I'll type eject, you know.
So what is your talk on tomorrow?
It'll be the 802.11 Mac. This is the media access control, the data link layer. A lot of people are sort of kind of familiar with the way Ethernet works, 802.3. You know, you plug up a cable, you have a source MAC address, you have a destination MAC address, and you have a checksum, and that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. You know, people understand that. You don't have to think about it. It just works. But 802.11 is very different for a lot of reasons, and I'm not going to go into all of them. But, I mean, the boundaries of an 802.11 network by necessity or just by the laws of physics, they're kind of fuzzy. You know, not all nodes can reach all other nodes, and you have 802.11, the media access control takes a lot of pains to, you know, make it as Ethernet-like as possible, and does all this stuff in the background, usually without the user really having any knowledge of it, any idea what it's doing, why it's doing it, and so I'm trying to, you know, bring some of that out of the black magic realm and into the light of day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it can be interesting to a lot of people simply because it's interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, plus, I mean, who doesn't use wireless these days?
Yeah, I mean, everyone uses 802.11.
Yeah.
You almost can't buy a laptop without an 802.11 card today.
Yeah.
Half the desktops at least come with an option for it.
Right, yeah.
You know, usually it's some sort of PCI card.
Yeah.
And also, you know, some of the stuff in my talk might clear up why your wireless connection is great at home, but then when you come to a conference like this, when there's 600-700 other people, why it's so slow. You know, you've got plenty of bandwidth, but nobody's getting through. Why, you know? And, you know, we'll just try and bring some of that out into the light, explain it, and help people get a better grasp of the tools they're using.
Nice. Sounds really cool. I'm going to try to make that one, except I think you're talking at the same time that I am, so probably won't make it.
Yeah, I believe that's the case as well. That's sort of the problem when you have, you know, five, six tracks going at the same time. You just can't see the stuff you want to see.
That's a good problem to have, obviously. So, well, thanks for talking to me, and I guess I'll probably see you next year.
Absolutely.
Cool. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.